אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש, כרך א', בעמוד 71, מאמר עניין אמת ואמונה, נתחיל מפסקה שנייה.
We're reading from the writings of Rabash concerning truth and faith. You can send your questions here, and selected questions might be asked during the lesson. Article number 3, the meaning of truth and faith. From the paragraph that says, and the Ari says.
The Ari says that the woman has to be doors so to close them to detain the embryo inside so it won't come out. Also, there should be a depicting force in her to depict the embryo. And he explains that the reason is, as in corporeality, then there will be an abortion. Meaning that if the embryo comes out of the womb before it is completely evolved to the in the degree of his ibur, this is not called birth, because the ibur cannot exist in the world, rather it's called abortion. Meaning it's not that it's born, it was aborted, it cannot live. Likewise in spirituality. In the ibur there are two bechinot. The first is the form of the ibur, a form of the conception, which is the degree of katnut, it's the true form of it. Because it has only katnut, this is discerned as a deficiency. Wherever there is a deficiency, the klipot can grab hold, and they can cause an abortion, meaning that the spiritual embryo can be aborted before it is completely formed in its ibur. Therefore, there should be something that detains it. It keeps it there and gives it the form of gadlut. Number two, we should understand how a newborn can be given gadlut while it is still unfit to receive even katnut sufficiently, since it still does not have the kelim, the vessels in which to receive them in order to bestow. To that, there is an answer there. Our sages said, an embryo in its mother's abdomen eats what its mother eats. He also said, a fetus is his mother's thigh. This means that since a fetus is his mother's thigh, the ibur does not merit its own name. For this reason, the fetus eats what its mother eats. That is, the fetus receives everything that it receives in the mother's kelim. For this reason, although the fetus has no kelim that are fit to receive gadlut, but in the kelim of the upper one, which is its mother, it can receive because it is completely annulled before the mother and has no authority of its own. This is called ibur when it is completely annulled before the upper one. Then, when it receives gadlut, it is in wholeness. This is why there is no grip to the klipot there. This is why it is called the detaining force. This keeps the fetus from falling in spirituality, like an abortion in a corporeal fetus, from where the mother must watch over her fetus, so there will not be any malfunction there. It is likewise in spirituality. It turns out, from all the above, that we should discern two states in man's work. One, one's true state, meaning one's katnut, even when everything he does and thinks is katnut. The sensation of katnut begins when it wants to walk on the path of truth, which is to work in order to bestow. At that time, he begins to see his katnut, how remote he is from matters of bestowal, and he cannot do anything in order to bestow. This is called truth, meaning his true state. Then, because it is katnut, there can be a grip to the sidra acha, and it can come to despair. It turns out that his entering the work is regarded as zibur, and he can come into abortion, meaning to fall from his degree, similar to the corporeal fetus that falls out from the mother's abdomen and cannot stay alive. Likewise, in spirituality, he falls from his degree and needs a new ibur. That is, he needs to start his work anew, as though he never served the Creator. For this reason, there should be a detaining force so that the fetus will not fall out. This means that at that time he should be in wholeness, meaning to feel that he is not lacking anything in the work, but that now he is close to the Creator in complete vekut, adhesion, and no one can tell him, but you see that you have no progress in the work of the Creator. Therefore, you are exerting in vain, and you are unfit to serve in holiness. Therefore, you need to be like everyone else. Why are you making such a noise that you want to be at a higher degree than everyone else, although you derive no satisfaction from the work of the general public? This is what gave you the push, so as to be able to have the thoughts and desires that you must come out of the work of the ordinary people and go further ahead toward the truth. It is true that this is the truth, but you see that although you want to walk on the path of truth, you are unfit for it, either because you lack talent or because you lack the strength to overcome, as you are unable to overcome the nature of self-love with which you were born. Therefore, drop this work. Don't dwell in lowliness like in the rest of the people, and don't raise your heart above your brother to be haughty. Rather, it is better that you retire from this path. For this reason, in order not to fall into such thoughts, he needs the detaining force. That is, he must believe above reason that the grip he has on the path of truth is great and very important. And he cannot even appreciate the importance of touching the path of truth, for this is the entire kli in which the light of the Creator will be. However, this is in the kelim of the upper one. That is, the Creator knows when a person should feel his dvikut with the Creator. In his own kelim, he feels the opposite, that now he is worse than when he walked on the path of the general public, where he felt that each day he was adding good deeds and Torah and mitzvot. But now, since he has started walking on the path of the individual, to always keep that intention, how much he can work in order to bestow, and how much he can relinquish self-love, at that time, he usually sees how much he is nearing the truth. At that time, he always sees more of the truth, that he is unable to exit self-love. Still, in the kelim of the upper one, meaning above reason, he can raise himself and say, I don't care how I am bestowing upon the Creator. I want the Creator to bring me closer to Him. And the Creator certainly knows when the time will come when I feel that the Creator has brought me closer to Him. In the meantime, I believe that the Creator knows what is best for me. And this is why He makes me feel the feelings that I am feeling. But what is the reason that the Creator wants to guide me on this path? Meaning that I must believe in the path of faith, that He is behaving with me benevolently. And if I believe it, He has given me a sign, the amount of joy I have, the amount of gratitude that I can give to Him for this, and how much I can thank and praise His name. Surely, we must say that this is to our benefit, that specifically through faith we can achieve the goal, which is called receiving in order to bestow. Otherwise, the Creator could certainly lead us by the path of knowledge and not by the path of faith. Thus far.
Questions?
Rav, well, the truth is, I have so many questions, but maybe I'll start with...
Start and finish.
Okay, I'll start and finish. And for this reason, in order not to fall into these thoughts, he needs a detaining force, meaning he has to believe above reason that the grip he has on the path of truth is a great thing and very important. And he has no strength to appreciate its importance when he is touching the path of truth, because this is the entire kli for the light of the Creator to dwell in. What is that kli?
Yeah, he cannot appreciate it, but he has strength, he has... How shall I put it? He has a grip in spirituality, he has contact with spirituality, with the Creator. Except he can't appreciate it because it's like a little child. Give a little child something shining like gold. He thinks it's something great. Give him something... Meaning, nothing is according to its true value. We can't appreciate what we have today. If you would be able to appreciate correctly what we have today, you would have been in the end of correction. Because you already have contact with the Creator. And the smallest contact is enough. Everything else depends on your appreciation.
He actually has an inversion from the touch with the Creator, and this is the contact that from which he understands that he can advance?
Okay, let's say, from the Creator come two forces, the depicting force and the detaining force, and they need both to produce the embryo. Just like we build something, we sculpt something. So you need also to add matter from within and also restrict it to give it form. That's how the Creator is working on us. And we have to agree with that and with the other.
It's as if he has to see the whole picture, first of all, of the complete embryo.
Who?
The person that is doing a spiritual work.
How can he see the complete embryo?
Has to imagine, to depict...
Not imagine, not depict, but faith above reason. Man, where are you?
No, but he's saying that depicting force is until the fetus is depicted in the whole state. He wrote about it. Maybe I don't understand it properly.
Okay, not too bad.
Rav, he writes... But what is the reason for which the Creator wants to guide me on such a path that I have to believe in the way of faith that He is benevolently guiding me? If I believe, I have a sign, how much joy I have, how much I can thank Him for it, etc.
Accept whatever may be as the best thing that's coming down to you from the Creator, except He cannot appreciate it.
Okay, and this path of faith, what you just said is that I have to believe in it? The path of faith.
Faith is the force of bestowal. It's not that I believe that this is so. It's a force of bestowal. All the things that we're talking about are forces.
Okay, so it's just that I saw that from this whole story in this article, it leads to the path of faith. That's why I asked. The way of faith is a force of bestowal. That's a solution.
The solution is that I aim myself towards connection. Only through that I can see the world the correct state. And the path of bestowal is the path of the group, or through the group.
No. מה זה כוח המעכב?
What is the detaining force?
Detaining force. How can you imagine it? It's a detaining force. It detains the embryo inside the womb. Also inside the embryo, doesn't let him develop in all directions, but only in the correct form. That these two forces from within and from without, they sculpt the form of the embryo.
And what is it in our work?
In our work, it's only to annul ourselves. Only to annul. For the good, for the bad, to accept it as the best possible thing that comes to me from the upper, and that's why I don't interfere with that. But I don't interfere, meaning I bless on the bad as on the good.
Zeu, Ken.
We learn that katnut is chafetz chesed. It's a state that you don't want anything. It's a point zero. It's wholeness.
Katnut means that I'm satisfied with what I have, and I consider it as the greatest thing. And then I'm willing to accept the rest from the Creator. If I did not come to a state where I am blessing the Creator for my state, as it is, as if it's the greatest thing, I'm not ready to continue forward.
Because here he writes that katnut is a state of deficiency, like the klipot can have a grip there.
It's a dangerous state because I'm in the small vessels. Of course, everything can take me out of it. My protective force, my defense instead of katnut, depends on being dependent on the upper, on the greater.
So yearning for wholeness is yearning to be in katnut or in gadlut?
I need to yearn for wholeness in each and every state if I determine that I receive it from the Creator.
But we still learn that the main thing is the katnut. All the rest is just an addition.
Correct.
So why is that a deficiency? Why can the klipot have a grip there?
That's from the protective, defensive side. Again, we always have two parameters, from the one side and from the other, from inside or from the outside. I'm still in katnut. Is katnut good or not? If I'm adhered to the Creator, I feel like Him. I don't need anymore. I'm adhered. That's it. On the other hand, did I scrutinize all the vessels? I still have deficiencies inside, of course. Am I whole? No. How come you're not whole? I'm whole for the time being, according to the process I'm undergoing. But of course, they're awakening me more and more, Rishimo, and I have to attach them as well to wholeness. Everything is weighed against these two forces. Rabash, part 3.
We're moving on to Rabash, volume 3. The Birth of the Moon, Article 799. You can find it in our website, The Birth of the Moon by Rabash, Article 799.
כתבי רבש קרח ג' עמוד 2003, מאמר מולד הלבנה.
The birth of the moon. Moses was perplexed. The moon is called Malchut. It is called the renewal of the moon, because we must accept the burden of the kingdom of heaven each day anew. Yesterday's acceptance is not enough, since each time, says Dari, we must raise the sparks that fell to Biyah and raise them to Kedusha, to holiness. It follows that when a person accepts a new burden each time, It is considered that each time he takes a part of the separation and admits it into the unity of Kedusha. This is the meaning of Malchut returning to being a dot each day. And in the Zohar, a dot is called a black dot, in which there is no white. That is, it does not shine, since white means that it illuminates. This means that it must be renewed each time. However, we must know that it is not the same quality as it was before. Rather, it is as it is written, there is no renewal of light that does not extend from Ein Sof. This is called Ibur, impregnation of the month. Ibur comes from the words anger and rage. That is, a person must overcome while the kingdom of heaven is as a dot in him. Meaning that the kingdom of heaven does not illuminate for him, so he will be in gladness. As it is written, serve the Lord with gladness, but it is rather in sadness in him. This is the meaning of Ibur. This is similar to an impregnation in corporeality, that the impregnation begins, and then, if the proper conditions are given, an offspring will emerge. It follows that when one begins the work and sees how far he is from the Creator, and it hurts him, this is regarded as being rewarded with katnut, meaning that he feels his own katnut. This is called a lack of a kli, and to that extent he can later obtain the light, called gadlut, greatness or adulthood, according to the measure of the kli. A dot is called shchina, divinity in the dust. And rising is called the sanctification of the month. That is which...
Or birth.
He says that every time a person assumes the burden again, meaning gets a part of separation, puts it into the Kedusha.
That's how it is, month by month.
What is a burden? What is the new burden?
New burden means corrupt will to receive. The Creator corrupted it on purpose and placed it on you like on a donkey, like an ox to the burden or to the yoke and a donkey to the load, and you have to carry it until you correct it. And then instead of a burden, you'll have like a Pegasus, like a flying horse.
Where does this burden come from? From where? The Rishima?
It's a will to receive that's revealed.
From the Rishima it comes?
Yes.
Can I soften this Rishima? Can I change it?
No.
Why not?
Because you're given according to your state, your root of your soul. Everything is measured. You're part of a system. You can't even escape and move an inch. Give you a little bit of freedom of to move in order to realize your free choice, and that's it. If not, then no. You see, they bring a person here, he sits here for a while, then he leaves, or he stays, but he's not realizing himself, and so on and so forth. And that's it. The world is advancing this way or that way, because even the kasta will not be cast away. Everything returns to its root. But there are those who have the ability to realize creation, and there are those who will come kind of absent-mindedly.
The Rishima is like a kind of a film that runs throughout your life, right?
Yes.
The thing is that if I do the spiritual work or I advance towards the spiritual work, and I always ask myself, can I change my destiny? Meaning it depends on the Rishima itself.
Yeah.
So you can change your Rishima.
You have other life. You have another life. Either you are like a person who evolves spiritually in the correct way, or you descend into various religions, beliefs, or you're going completely, I don't know, to the union.
Okay. Can I change my life for the better if by doing the work?
Depends what it means, better.
That's what I'm asking you. What does it mean, better? It's a question I'm sure everyone asks themselves.
Better means truth. There's no good or bad. A person can confuse himself, you buy a few different drugs and you're set. Rather, true or false?
No, but the Lishim itself, I have to understand it simply. I don't understand about truth or false. The truth is, I don't understand. But I want to change my Lishimo, my life.
No, your Lishimo is your parameters that you have at a given moment. And the question, are you trying to find in each and every state that's going over you? Are you trying to find the truth in it? Truth.
Then what? Life changes?
Even if it's bad, but it's true. And for that, I need the force of Gvoah, mighty screen. But, you know, that's the thing. Truth you should buy and never sell. Above your desire, above your comfort.
Yes, but my life changes for the better or not?
It doesn't matter to me, as long as I'm moving towards greater truth.
But how do I avoid these troubles? You're talking about the troubles.
You can't see the truth before you rise above your ego. You can't notice it, because it's not in you. Truth is something that's neutral, it's absolute. It's not in you. How can it be? They have eyes, but they can't see. Only to rise above the ego. This is called faith above reason. And only then you're opening your eyes and you can see this is truth or this is not, and how much more than that. Then you can start to scrutinize greater or lesser truth.
How can I define this? Naturally, I live in this world. I'm looking for a better life.
Okay, so I have the wrong address.
Maybe, but can I change something about my Rishimo? Does it change?
No, you can change. If you work on a spiritual development, you get the same Rishimo, but in a different way. I'm sorry, if you leave the spiritual work, you won't be able to make a free choice on them. You won't be able to shorten the path. You're just going to reincarnate. But everyone gets to the end of correction. So, you know, forget about it. Go rest.
Just flow with it, you say.
Yes.
He says here that it turns out that when a person goes into work seeing how far he is from the Creator and it pains him, this is discerned as katnut, meaning he feels his katnut, this is discerned as a deficiency, then he can attain the light called gadlut, the value of the kli. He talks about the state of abortion. What is this state?
So all those things are with respect to the person who attains. Katnut, gadlut, abortion, advancement, doesn't matter what. It all depends on that person, how he appreciates the state. It's not that it's given from above. Rather, when we say that he's given from above, it means that he is feeling what he received. And now his attitude determines everything.
He described in the previous state that if a person has a deficiency and isn't able to go into the state of gadlut, the exaltedness of the Creator and feeling this bestowal, he falls into a state of abortion. He has to start this whole process again.
It never starts the same. It's written like this, that it starts anew, but it's not the same.
So what actually happens in this state to this dot that falls from the state and has to attain the greatness of the Creator?
He already scrutinized that he's getting a new Rishimo. And again and again. Like going with a little box to the king's treasurer. Okay, but I'm pretty happy. All in all, you feel a new grip, a new spirit. Let's hope that pretty soon we'll begin to work with the lights of the vessels.
The daily task. The daily task from the team that prepares it. Every 10 discerns how to limit the will to receive in order to clear room for the action of the upper. Again, every 10 discerns how to limit the will to receive so we can clear room for the action of the upper. Zohar lesson. You're all invited to watch us tonight, 5:45, live in our website with Dr. Rav Lightman. Kab the TV. Open Friday. Friends from all over Israel, viewers of our channel, come join us in a special Kabbalah lesson and a meal this Friday, 2:45 a.m., 12 Nevatim Street, Petah Tikva. For registration, please call 1-700-509-209. Thank you to all our TV viewers. Have a good day.
שיעורי ניסיון בקורס יסודות חוכמת הקבלה. מכללת קבלה לעם שמחה להזמינכם למפגשי היכרות לקראת
קבלה לעם College is happy to invite you to intro lectures in Netanya and Carmiel. Come join us Thursday, September 13th. For details, go to our website or on the phone 1-700-509-209. Thank you. Have a good day.
המקום עליו אנו דורכים, האוויר שאנו נושמים, עם ריחות ילדות וחברים, הבית עם השירים. כך גדלנו עם להבת הנר שעדיין בוערת בפנים, מניעה אותנו אלפי שנים מעל גלי החיים. כחודו של מחט אני אפתח כפתחו של אולם, את הברית הזאת ביחד נממש עם כל העולם. ניתן לאור לחדור אל חדרי הלב, למעוף של בוקר יום. הנה ביונה לבנה עם מלא בפי המרקד שלם.